Welcome to the daily VFN radio program highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, I want to talk about this morning is the first half of this extra hour is a community organizer. And the reason why I want to do that, because I was one. Did you know that? I used to be a community organizer. You remember that, Pat?
I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And the mix of all the things that I do at the same time while I was running a plastic fabrication company, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was working for you at the time.
That's right. Page me if you need me. I'm going to be organizing communities. And so, you know, I was asked by my pastor at that time, you know, to be able to be a community organizer in regards to, well, to be involved. No, first of all, I was actually asked to be involved just to represent the church there, and then they actually offered me a little bit later on to be the community organizer, and then that's when I actually became that. But what I found out was when they first started coming to us, you know, they were coming to us for the idea of being able to, you know, do you have any issues? Is there some sort of problem that you're having in your community? Because we want to be able to organize you and help you meet that need. And so you think, oh my goodness, these people are here to really help us out. They actually care about us. You're like, where did they come from? And so all of a sudden people start talking about, hey, we have this stop sign issue and people are getting hurt. We have these drugs in our community. And they just start having a focus group of finding out what where the problems are, that type of thing. And then at that point, then they begin to tell you, the community organizer begins to tell you about how to organize effectively where you can make change in your community. And so, and to affect that change. And then once that change is affected, then the people are empowered and then they begin to say, hey, we can do this thing. Well, you know, when you first started hearing that, and I was really young in the Lord, my pastor at that time, you know, was wanting to be effective in the community. And so we got involved and let them come into the church and they began to kind of, you know, do what they do. And, you know, basically, you know, probably naive is a good way to describe quite often some things that, you know, it's just not good to be naive. But anyway, so they came in and began to do all that. And so then, you know, eventually I was offered a position because a position came available for our community, the county in which we live, for a community organizer right there. And so I talked to a few people about it, and I took that on in addition to everything else. And it was amazing, you know, what I learned about community organizing. And it was so the way it works is you just begin to get people, you know, organized around an issue, people that never thought they could do anything about it. And then to get them focused on a particular point where they actually flip things over or change things or that type of thing. So anyway, I'll go to Applegate, California. And I'm going to go to community organizing training. I'm in a Jesuit priest retreat in Applegate, which is north of Sacramento. And I'm out there with organizers from all around the county, our country. And I'm listening to what they're saying, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I'm listening to one particular lady. She's talking about, you know, her experience. And she says, you know, I have this one particular pastor, and she's talking about what they're doing. Their focus point is they come into the church because you have a group of people. You have somebody who wants to bring effective change, probably more than likely to their city or whatever. And so they seem to really focus on churches, you know. And so she's talking about one of the churches that she focused with. She's in front of all these people, and she's saying, I don't know what it is, but every time I get with this particular pastor, he shares with me everything that's on his heart. He tells me everything, you know, and she wasn't in the right spirit. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking this lady's going from church to church. They're taking God's people. You know what I'm saying? And it was happening over and over again, but these particular ones, I'm not talking about if you're a community organizer, I'm just talking about my personal experience.
Right.
That their motives were not pure. Their goals were not the same as the Lord's goals. But yet they did it in the name of God. They did it in the name of God. And so one of the leaders of the organization is from Berkeley, you know, and since then I had a history lesson on Berkeley, you know. And another, you know, nothing against our listeners in Berkeley out there, but hey, you got some history right there. And I had some personal history of Berkeley, you know, and he was talking to me and trying to encourage me because I was challenging them in their viewpoints that, you know, we really shouldn't, we gotta be careful what we're doing for the church. You know, you can't just do anything you want to do. The church is God's people. And so then we go to Roseryville, New Jersey, which is a beautiful area out there. And, you know, people talk about Jersey jokingly all the time in some areas about Jersey. Jersey's beautiful. But even more beautiful than the Jersey itself is the people of Jersey. Right. I love the people of Jersey. Oh, my goodness, and the food. My, I want to give a big shout out this morning to Sophia and Maria this morning. We love you. And we're excited about all this taking place up there in New Jersey. And we, as a matter of fact, give a shout out to Toys R Us up there today. But and they were training us in this a nunnery how to organize. We had all these people that came from around the community. But this particular professor from Berkeley was just orchestrating the spirit or the mood of the whole group, and it was amazing what he was doing. And he talked about this is how you do it, and this is how you can, you know, manage people. And it just was so wrong. As a matter of fact, one of the guys that went with me, he was also with up from the same church. He's a pastor now out in Georgia, but he was just weeping in tears. He just felt like, oh, I've sinned. This is so bad. They have like statues and stuff around, and. And it was just something, you know, anyway, so we come back, and it's just, you know, the Spirit of God is just on me about this whole thing. It's just on me about it. You know, this is just not right. You guys shouldn't be touching the church. I'm thinking something's not right. Why are you shouldn't have anything to do with the church. I mean, you want to organize as a citizen of your country, that's cool, but you don't touch the church. You don't, and the church shouldn't be so openly just going, hey, come on in, help us change the laws and stuff. And so then he comes in from California, and I'm going to have lunch with him. And we actually have lunch at Pensacola Beach, beautiful Pensacola Beach, and Flounder's Restaurant. If you've never been there, oh, my goodness, on the water.
My goodness, yes.
Is it nice? Or
oh,
what?
The nachos are beautiful, too.
Oh, yeah, the food's good. A fish, right? Fish?
Yeah, seafood nachos.
Seafood nachos. You never would think that would be good, but once you taste it, it's like, oh, my goodness. But anyway, so I'm sitting back there. I'll never forget the scene. And I'm talking to him, and I'm talking to him about everything, you know, and he just seems to be, you know, he's used to community, being a community organizer. So everything you say, they kind of twist it and turn it and never give you an answer. And so then I've just finally just said this. I said, who is Jesus to you? You know, it's like, come on, you got to give me this one. Yeah. Who is Jesus to you? And he pauses, and he looks at me, and he said, he's a carpenter.
Wow.
He's a carpenter.
That's it, huh?
A carpenter. A Jewish carpenter is what he said. And like, got it. You know? And this guy, his whole system was infiltrating the church, and the church was all like, you know what? Because they were in... This is a spirit of manipulation. It's a spirit of control and manipulation, and we can't control and manipulate people, church. We're not called to do that, you know, and we're supposed to follow God and let God touch people's hearts. We're supposed to pray for those in authority over us and let God, I mean, if you're not getting paid the right wages, you know, God says that the wages you fail to pay your worker cry out against you, and realize that God sees the injustices that are taking place. And so we'll talk more about the workplace and all that, but we are not supposed to go in America, for example. You can vote and, you know, share your opinions and stand up on your soapbox, but you're not supposed to underminingly manipulate people to get them to go in a direction to be able to fill your agenda if you call yourself a believer. And if you're the church, you should not be letting those people in the church and be messing with the flock. It just shouldn't happen, you know, and it's a spirit of witchcraft and manipulation. But quite often what's happening in the church today is there's people playing politics in the church, so it's not a big deal to play politics in the context of manipulation and persuasion and all that into society. And the truth is, we're not called to do that. We're called to honor God, honor authority, in the context of that, of you know, what God says to do. And I just want to encourage you right now that we're facing right now in our country, in our nation, this is our God's news behind the news. You know, we have a community organizer, you know, that's our president and leading our country. And we've been praying for our president and his family and the cabinet. And, you know, we've been praying for them for, I would say, at least 8,000 hours, if not more. Maybe more than that, but at least 3 years, because we pray for 24 hours a day, three-hour watches. You know, we'll pray for the whole hour, but somebody takes a watch. And one of the focus prayers we pray for our president, pray protection over him, that, you know, God would protect him and keep him safe, that he had ears to hear. But, you know, he's a community organizer, like I was a community organizer, but, you know, he was more, you know, into it than I was. And one thing that the organizers do is they go into the church and they take the church to be able to utilize it to the masses to be able to turn to people. We have to realize at this point that we cannot let anybody, you know, as shepherds, as leaders in the church and as members of the body of Christ, that we have to be careful that we just don't let anybody come in and start telling us what to do outside of what God says to do. You know, that we have a king and he tells us, you know, this is how things operate. He gives us an operating way we're supposed to operate in life, but we're not supposed to organize a community and have it go against the authorities of the land. That would be manipulation. So, you know, of course, there's a lot of unions now in America, and you could be, you know, a part of the union that's out there. And, you know, obviously, I was part of the bargaining unit as a law enforcement. We had the Police Benevolence Association. I went to bargaining for that. But you can actually do that with an honoring spirit, and you can actually not try to manipulate your employer. You can consciously, you know, I'm going to come in. They're giving me this kind of freedom to talk about these particular things, but I'm not going to underminingly try to force them to do, as a believer now. I'm not talking to the world, but I'm talking to the church, that we cannot purely before God force our employers through manipulation by saying, hey, if you don't do this, then we're going to, you know, that's a wrong viewpoint. You know, he says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're supposed to submit to our employers, you know, that we're supposed to do what they say, not just to them alone, but as we're submitting to the Lord, and that that God will actually honor you for doing that. And when you get the job out of the different perspective and realize it's not my God, and that if this job don't work out, God can give me another one. If he feeds the birds of the air and takes care of the grass of the field, he says he's going to take care of us, right? And being Americans, you know, we can afford to lose a few pounds anyway if we had, right?
At least some of us.
I think like 50 or 70% of America is overweight or something like that.
Oh, at least. Not more.
We're sorry for adding to that percentage. We're working on it. We're working on it. And so God's perspective, realize it's community organizing. It's to understand it's very important, because somebody's trying to organize you. You have to realize if you're somebody's trying to organize you, they need to be upfront with it and say, hey, we're going to organize you, and this is what we're going to do. And if they say to you, and we're going to come against the government, you know, we're going to organize you and we're going to come against our employer. We're going to organize you and we're going to come against our county commissioners or our city council, you know, come against their authority. Now I'm talking about coming together in regards to, you know, representing a political issue or values or that type of thing. That's what we're supposed to do in America. We can do that. And we can stand up and say, listen, that, you know, this law is wrong, you know, and that's not wrong. George Washington stated, you know, this is enter the battlefield of ideas. And that is not an abnormal thing to do. But to force behavior from your employer or force behavior authority is kind of getting dirty in the context of things versus just saying, hey, I'm just not, I like this one particular man. He's running for office right now. And he said this, he said that I told the particular person that's in office now that I wasn't going to run, but I'm not going to run anymore because he was running. He said, but I'll support you as long as I can. And then when I can't, I'll run against you. I was like, That was what a statement. Oh, my goodness. But that's America. You know, if you want to run for office, you can run for office. Yeah. You know, I encourage anybody out there who has, you know, God's heart. You know, you have, you're an abider. You hang out with God. You know, that you spend time with God and pray. And that's what I ask leaders now. I'm like, do you pray? Do you know, what does God say to you? You know, what is your relationship? We just want to know, are you going to pray over these ideas or these decisions that you have, or are you just going to go ahead and, you know, that's how you can be involved. But in regards to organizing a community to force authority to do something that's not, it's not godly in regards to the way he tells us to do that. Because he says all authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it rebel against what God's established. They're his servants to do you good. But if you rebel against the established authority, he's not bearing the sword for nothing. He's there to punish the wrongdoer. And so that, you know, I know as Americans, we've struggled with, you know, we're America, you know, and I love America. Oh, my goodness. I love America. We are blessed. And because of America's, all the people that have fought for our country and represented our country, that I'm able to come to you right now on VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program. But, you know, the church is actually in America, but it's also in Russia. It's also in Israel. It's also in China. The church is all over. And in those areas, it's different forms of government. You know, Jesus wasn't trying to change the government when he was standing before, you know, Pilate. He realized when Pilate said, don't you understand that I'm the government? He's what he's saying, basically, and I can do anything I want to do. And Jesus said, there's no authority given you except that which has been given you from above.
Right.
You know, so when we're coming against authority in the wrong spirit, you know, and not doing it the right way, that we're coming against what God's established, you know, and that's what Jesus was telling Pilate. It's like, come on, dude, really? Do you really think you're talking to God here? He's right. And so that kind of relieves us in the context of those people that will project themselves as their authority over you. There's people that, you know, will say they're your authority, but, you know, God lays out, you know, what your authority is, and everybody's not, you know, your authority. And, but it's important to identify it. You know, that's one of the things we do in VFNU, and those that are going in to be training for possible ministry, is to be able to, you know, find out, you know, who your authority is, you know, what's going on. And so I just want to encourage you that right now, as community organizers that are scattered across the land, when you look at the ACORN organization, that's a community organizing organization. That's what it's about, you know, organizing people. And that's a cool thing if it's going in the right area. But if we're trying to force, you know, authority to do something it shouldn't do, then we're getting into manipulation there. In America, we can vote, you know. If Christians just got out and voted, no. If Christians abided for 90 days, hung out with God, you know, abide for 2 weeks and call me in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
That if you abide with God, and you can go to iabide.org, you know, everybody wants to do it, but you just need a plan. You can get a plan right now. We have one for you, iabide.org. I encourage you between now in the elections, and the primaries probably are coming up pretty soon in your area of your county, your state, your in our nation. And so I want to encourage you that abide for 90 days before you pull the lever or scan the whatever, you know, or punch out the whatever they have. You know, just abide, hang out with God for 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about this. Actually research the peoples whose name is on the ballot. Find out what they stand for. You know, there's a lot of great organizations out there. I'm thinking about John Stenberger's organization that's down in Orlando, where he has the organization that helps pick out the judges in regards to how they've been voting. And matter of fact, can you pull up his website for us while we're talking?
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, what's so cool, because you never know about judges and how they stand on our values as believers. And you just people just kind of vote on judges. They go, I guess they've been a judge, I'll just go ahead and vote them in again, you know. And so I know that in Florida, and it's probably one, you can find one in your area, that kind of gives a history on judges in regards to, are they conservative in regards to do they actually vote, make decisions based on the way that God would actually would want us to. In addition to that, you have other organizations that are out there, like, used to be the Christian Coalition, but there's different. I know that even John even has that particular voter's guide, but they're all over the place. There's national voter guides out there, and the voter guides are like this. They have all the candidates on there. They ask all the candidates the same questions, and all the candidates, no matter what political affiliation they are, they answer the questions. And so you can see how they stand on those issues, and then you can vote for them. See, we don't have to organize against them. We can either vote them in or vote them out. That's what's so good about America. You know, we need to hold on to that. We need to find out how people stand in the First Amendment. We're going to be talking in the future about, you know, the founding of America, founding moments in America. And understand that, you know, many people paid a price for us. A lot of bloodshed was had for us to be able to pull the lever to vote for whoever we want to vote for. And as believers, you know, we want to be able to abide with God to find out what? To find out what he says and what his word says about us and about our people and our leaders. And then we want to be able to apply that that litmus test to our choices and who we're going to vote for. And I personally believe that there's no salvation in anybody but Jesus Christ. There's no salvation in any man other than Jesus Christ. Every man will eventually disappoint you because he's a man, including me, because God wants us to have our confidence in him. But understand this, that by doing what's right, God pours a grace out. He pours a grace out. He pours a grace out when we do our best. You know, what we do is do our best, and we trust God with the rest. And it's powerful what he does. I mean, I've seen it many times in my life, you know, that I needed to go 10 miles, and I was only able to go 3, but that was everything inside of me that I knew at the time. And he takes me the rest of the 7 to get there. So it don't have to be perfect. We just have to be humbly dependent on God in regards to what's going to happen. And if the Christians vote alone after abiding with God, you know, for 90 days, I'm telling you, I mean, you're just going to feel, God's going to lead you in how to vote. You have to educate yourself on each of these particular leaders. Realize this, that, you know, whoever you choose to be your president, for example, he will send your sons and daughters to war, you know, maybe during that time, or not send them to war. You know, they'll be the ones that tax your income or don't tax your income. They'll be the ones that, that make the decisions that affect your daily life. And so, for example, I think about John Stemberger, and you can get an example of that, that his organization, you can find out more. You can pull up his site. Well, let me find it right here. That's his firm. But his ministry site, I don't have it up. But anyway, you probably can search for John Stemberger. We'll have it up maybe for you tomorrow on there. But understand, they're all over the place in your city as well. You got to have to do due diligence, which means you're going to have to check out these candidates. You know, when the governor was running for office, you know, in Florida, you know, I looked at Governor Scott, and I was talking to him personally. I made a point to go meet him personally while he was running for office when he came through my particular area, and I talked to him about some issues. He said, well, that's written on the website. And I said, but I want to hear you personally. And I asked him, he says, you know, and asked him some very specific questions that I wanted to know, you know, where he stood with God, and did he know Jesus Christ as his Savior? And he began to share his testimony with me. And he answered some questions with me that made me peaceful in my heart that I can make a decision or not. And so I had to find the people, and you need to find the people and talk to them and meet them and get these voters' guides that kind of help you make a good decision. So when you walk into these voting booths, and whatever you're going to vote all up to November, that you pull the lever based on your personal abiding relationship with Jesus Christ and your personal encounter with these that are going to be leading your kids at school, that's going to be leading your county and your cities and your states, you know, and whoever it is, you know, whoever it is. I can't tell you any particular candidate because you just don't know. You're going to have to put the effort in. It's worth it. As a matter of fact, where battles were fought in the past by weapons, that in America, we've been able to fight the battle at the polling booth. We can actually vote. It's legal. It's right. It's what our Constitution is, gives us constitutional right to do it. And we are the ones. It's the government by the people and for the people. We make the decisions, and then we send those leaders in to serve a certain term for us. And I just want to encourage you about that. Yes, things are being organized as community organizers all over the place, but realize this, you know, be organized in the context of God. Organize around him and his values. And pay attention when you're starting to see somebody wanting to come into your church to begin to tell you what to do, what you can't do, and they're not believers. They're not just, you know, throw your antennas up and just say, you know what, we're called to be the church. The First Amendment says that we can be the church, we can worship freely, and we're not going to compromise that. So I encourage you to remember this moment about community organizing and understand that God's established authority, and we don't want to be ones that rebel against authority. And but in turn, you know, God will begin to say things to us and begin to lead a people out to be able to establish something else, for example, like the pilgrims did. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or through the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone. That's VFNTV.com.